I'm eager to share with you this morning. It's our final week of restoring the foundation series, or restoring our connection with God. If you don't know me, I'm not always up here, or I'm up here leading worship sometimes, but I'm Amy, and I'm a pastor here at Ashworth and love serving here and getting to teach every now and then. So this morning, I get to wrap up our series, Restoring the Foundation, Restoring Our Connection with God. And it's made me think, this whole series, those last 4 weeks, we've been talking about restoration and ways to be restored. And I love restoration, and I love restoration stories. And I know I'm not the only one, because on Netflix, there's like a whole section that's like on restoration shows. And Americans seem to be crazed over restoration stories, right? We love all those, all the restoration, home restoration shows. Yeah? Anybody in here love those shows?
Yeah.
What are your favorites? I'll show you. I took a poll among the staff. You guess. Who do you think, Fixer Upper? Who do you think, out of Brent, Ryan, and Amy? No, that's me. I'm the middle-aged white woman who shops at Target, and Fixer Upper is my restoration show. What do you think about Ryan? Yes, yes. Can't you just see Ryan wants to be right in the middle of those two? As a property brother, he's going to take him to rural Iowa and get some, you know, farmland in that show. There's a wild card in here also. Brent, which one do you think is Brent's?
This old house.
Yes, and you know that why? Because Brent is the oldest among us. And I did a little research. I'm like, oh, this old house started in 1979. That all makes sense. So that's Brent's. And then there's a wild card in there. Does anybody remember Ty Pennington days? Yes, extreme home makeover. Anybody else like me just would sit there and watch them and just bawl? They'd move that bus and you cry. I mean, I'm like, they make shows like that for me. I love restoration shows, and clearly you do too. If you're on the chat right now, you should tell us what your favorite restoration shows are. We love a good restoration story, and there's a reason. Some of it is, it makes a great story, right? There's the like, something is broken and something is in need of repair, or it's dilapidated, or it's outdated, whether it's a house or your fashion. You know, something is not meeting its full potential. And then there's the part where they really get to work and you watch them work. And there's always a moment in these shows where they're like, is this actually fixable? Can we actually restore this house? You know, does this person actually have the money, the equity to keep going? Does this person want to do it? Will this house allow us to dig deep? You know, is the foundation good? And not to sound trite, but it even made me think of last week, Brent talking about we hit a wall. And we hit a dark night of the soul where we're like, can we keep going? And there's a moment in that show where you wonder. But eventually it works out. And then there's the big, beautiful reveal at the end, which is what I live for. And they move that bus or whatever it might be, and you cry and you're so satisfied. It's satisfying, right? Do you ever start those shows and you're like, I have to see the end result? Because you're watching all the hard work. You're like, I got to see the end. And you're in awe. We love these shows because they're entertaining. They make a great story. But I think, you're probably not thinking this when you're watching Fixer Upper, I'm not, but I think we like these stories because they resonate with something deep inside of us. I don't know, I'll speak for myself this morning, but I resonate with being in need of repair or in need of some updates. There are many days where I feel like, well, I'm not meeting my full potential. And I need some demo work done on me. And it's fun in those shows to watch someone else do the hard work instead of me having to do the hard work in me. But restoration does require work. It requires us digging. It requires us demoing and seeing what's underneath and uncovering and finding the foundation. And I've seen many of you doing that in the last few weeks of this series. There are a number of people in this church, too, who are doing a book study along with this series, where we're talking about being emotionally healthy in our spirituality. And I've seen people like starting to kind of demo and like allow things to come up and allow things to be restored that have needed to be restored. And I love that. We've been talking about this internal restoration, the restoration that God wants to do in us, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. And Brent started us off from the very beginning talking about Nehemiah and how Nehemiah had to really assess the damage of the wall and assess the reality. And he invited us to assess reality and to repent and to grieve, you know, where we've seen destruction and where we've seen the need, and then to start rebuilding. And then Brent Ryan talked about how we need, part of restoration is that we need to have healthy spiritual rhythms in our lives. We need to carve out space, and how we've resisted a lot of the things that COVID has brought into our lives, and we've grieved and we've hated a lot of it. But there are some things that have been really good, like we've had more space. We've had more margin in our lives. And there was an encouragement for us to embrace some of those things, to embrace some solitude, some free evenings or a free morning or some space in our lives to connect with God. And if we want restoration, we have to allow for space. We have to allow for healthy spiritual rhythms. And then if you remember, Ryan got up here and had that powerful visual. He was like carrying all these bags, and he was talking about how we have baggage. We have stuff that we've accumulated over time in our lives, from maybe damage that has been done to us or ways that we have done damage in our own lives, and we pick these things up along the way and we carry them. And if we want to be restored, we have to begin the process of saying, Jesus, you carry them, and identifying what those bags are that we're hauling around and begin to release those. And then last week, Brent led us in a time of talking about what does it mean when you get to that place in the renovation where you're like, it's getting worse. Isn't it supposed to be getting better, but it's getting worse? We hit a wall and there's something that won't give. I can't hear from God. I don't feel connected to God. I feel like things around me are in crisis, and we hit this wall or this dark night of the soul. And the invitation was, keep pressing in. That's part of the restoration process. Often restoration brings us to that place. It brings us to that moment where we ask, is it worth it? Can I keep going? And the invitation is, yes, keep going. It is worth it. Restoration is just hard work. And as we commit to these things, as we commit to restoring our connection with God, it's worth it because something beautiful is revealed. Fruit is revealed. We get to see freedom and joy and peace. And I think instead of, you know, restored cabinets and countertops, we get to see our minds renewed and our hearts refreshed and our hearts connected to our Creator and to the people around us. And so what I want to say this morning as we wrap up this series, the thing I want to say to you is it doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop with us. It can't stop with us. Our restoration and our participating and inviting you into restoring all these things in your life internally and in your connection and your relationship with God is not just for you. It's for other people as well. It's because God will invite you into restoring other people's lives and restoring things around you and renewing things. That's what he does. God is in the work of restoration and renewal of all things. And as you are restored, he wants to invite you into restoration of other things and other people and communities as well. Yes, God teaches us and that he wants connection with us, and he longs for us to be healthy and whole and healed people and restored people. But it can't stop there. It's not just for our own benefit. We're restored in order to participate in the restoration of lives and systems and communities around us. In InterVarsity, which is the other ministry job that I do working with college students, a lot of times we were meeting students along the way over the years that didn't really grow up in the faith, or they did and they didn't understand it. They'd never really read the Bible and they didn't understand the whole gospel. All they thought about was Jesus dying on the cross, but they didn't understand the bigger picture of who God is. And we kept trying to explain it. And there are ways where you explain the gospel you've probably seen, like the bridge diagram and all those things. If you grew up like me, you've seen it all. But I would like to think InterVarsity did a nice job of creating something that actually was a bigger picture, a fuller picture of how the gospel actually works and what it means that Jesus brings good news in the gospel. And so there's this staff with InterVarsity. He's a pastor and he's an author. And he wrote this book called The Big Story of God. And he talked about how there are actually kind of four worlds that are wrapped up in the big story of God. And so this is what we would always share with students as we're seeing them come to faith in Jesus. And the first world is that we were designed for good. And that makes sense, right? That's creation. That's Genesis. We were designed for good. God created us and called us good. And then the second world is that we were damaged by evil. So if you think about it, it's just the fall, you know? It's what happened in the garden, that there was a design for good, and then there was damage by evil. And we've been damaged, we've damaged, there's damage that's been done. And then the third world is that we've been restored for the better. And that's where you see redemption come in. You see Jesus and the cross come in. And Jesus came, he died in order that we would be restored for better. And we see this story of redemption. And the interesting thing is that this is typically where we stop. But actually, there's a fourth world, and the fourth world is this idea that you're sent to heal. We're sent together to heal. And what happens is that typically we do stop at world three. I grew up in an environment in evangelical Christianity where we stopped at world three, where everything was about personal salvation, personal relationship with Jesus, sanctification. Are you doing things right? You know, get yourself together. Get your internal world together and your external world, you know. But it was all about this kind of idea. And we love, as evangelicals, we talk a lot about your personal relationship with Jesus and the need to be transformed and to be sanctified. And guess what? All of that is true. That's great. You do need to have personal relationship. That's what we've been talking about the last 4 weeks is, yes, it's so valuable, so important for you to have this incredible connection with God, for you to be restored and transformed. He wants to do all those things in you, but it doesn't stop there. The gospel doesn't stop at our restoration. Amen. The gospel continues, and it's that we are restored people, or we're in the process of restoration, and we're sent to heal. We're sent to restore. We're sent into our communities and to our friends and to our coworkers and to our families or wherever it might be. But we are sent as people who restore along with Jesus. If you think about the most important commandment that we hear in Scripture, right? Thinking about the most important commandment in Matthew 22, when a Pharisee or a religious leader asked Jesus, like, what's the most important thing? And he's trying to catch him in a lie. And he's like, tell me what the most important thing is. And he probably thinks that it's restored for better, that there's a way that it's like, when you do the right thing, that's the most important thing. You know, following my commands and doing the right thing, that's the most important thing. And actually, you probably know the scripture well. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And many of us walk away there. That's walking away at world three, like, okay, I just need to be restored for better. I need to work on my restoration, my connection with God. But actually, there's a second part to this greatest commandment, and it says, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. It isn't just loving God. It's loving him and likewise loving our neighbor as we learn to love ourselves and love who God made us to be. And all those things work together, and all of those things are caught up in restoration. We are being restored, and we get to participate in the restoration of other people. When God is the love of our lives, we love people well. Because as we hear in 1 John, love comes from God. God is love. We need him. We need his love to love other people. He loved us first. And what do we do in response to his love? We love him back, and we love other people with the love that we've received from him. We love God, and we love others. As we are restored, we are called to participate. We are called to participate in the restoration of others. And if you think back to the analogy of the home restorations, I was thinking, it would be like in these shows, part of what compels me, what makes me cry in these shows is the families, is the stories of the family that are going to dwell in these houses that have some kind of need or are doing something, and they need this place to be restored for them to live in, right? And if we only stop at world three, restored for better, if we stop at just loving God in our own internal restoration and that's it, it would be as if we had these shows and they make these beautiful houses and then no one moves in. It just sits there. What a sad show. It's no longer a great story. It's not really a restoration story, because restoration doesn't end with something just being restored. Restoration ends with restoration continuing with us. And so this morning, I want you to think about, as you cultivate your relationship with God, as you carve out moments like we've been talking about these last few weeks, to listen to him and to face your baggage, to face those hard things and to reveal the hard stuff in you that needs to be dealt with and brought out. As you deal with all those things, as you allow Jesus to heal your wounds, as you're restored, as you persevere through the wall and through the dark night, you're not just doing that for you. As you experience restoration in your connection with God, as you experience receiving his love again and loving him in return, it impacts your kids, it impacts your grandkids, it impacts your coworkers, your neighbors, it impacts your city, it impacts our church. Your restoration is not just for you. Its impact is widespread. And I think we tend to be kind of in one camp or the other. Some of you will be like, yeah, that's me, or yeah, that's me. Like, some of us are people who are like, I want to spend all my time just like in scripture study, you know, and I want to like learn and I want to seek God and I want to hear from him and I want to receive and I want to, you know, have long times with Jesus and learn to be transformed by him. Or maybe you're like, even in fear, you're like, I need to do things right. And it's all about you and your relationship with Jesus. And you neglect other people in the process. It's great to study scripture a lot. It's great to sit and receive from Jesus a lot. All those things matter. You need that connection with God. But if it doesn't propel you into the restoration of other people, then you're not being restored. You're just taking information in. And then others of us have this other problem where we typically are like, let me go restore other people and my city and whatever, my community. You know, like, I will serve, I will work, I will spend myself on behalf of other people, and I'll introduce other people to the love of God by doing what I do. But you neglect your own relationship with Jesus. And you neglect this moment of receiving from him, of hearing from God, and giving away what you're receiving. And eventually you burn out. You can't keep going when you don't have a well to draw from. We need both. God has invited us, commanded us to both, to love him and to be loved by him and to love our neighbor. And not only do we see this in just the greatest commandment in scripture, but we see it all over. There's so many stories I couldn't even pick. There's so many stories in scripture where we see moments where someone has a connection with God and a process of their restoration begins. And as that begins, they're sent into mission. They're sent into participating in restoration with others. I thought immediately of John 4, the woman at the well, right? She meets Jesus. She has this encounter with him. And thus, we see her restoration begin in this moment that we see in scripture. She talks to him, and he talks to her, and he calls out some of the hard things in her. He draws things out, and her restoration begins. And then she, what does she do? After that moment of just even the beginning of her restoration, she leaves, and she goes back to town where she came from, where she was outcast. She goes back to her town, and she tells everyone, hey, I just met this guy, and he'll change your life. And she invites them. And he actually ends up going then and spending a few days in her city. And it says that like all these people in her city ended up becoming followers of Jesus. She had a moment of just the beginning of her restoration, and she was immediately in mission, like immediately sent out to bring other people in and restore and participated in the restoration of other people. Or I thought about the demon-possessed man in Mark 5 who was so tormented that he lived in a graveyard and had for years hadn't been a part of his community. And he has this moment with Jesus. He has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus restores him. And he's restored to his right mind, and he's restored to who he was meant to be. And he has this moment of restoration. It's just a moment of restoration with Jesus. And what does he do? Jesus is like, go tell your friends. Go tell the people that you know. Go back to the town that you used to live in years ago, you know. And he goes back, and it says that all the people in his town were amazed, and so many of them became followers of Jesus. This man was restored in a moment with Jesus, but the restoration didn't stop with him. And for the woman at the well, the restoration didn't stop with her. We are always invited in to the restoration of other people. And I do want to just clarify this morning, just so you don't believe this, because I think we easily believe this. We believe that it's nice and tidy and linear somehow, or that I can't actually participate in restoring other people until I am fully restored. I'm still working on these things. I can't, you know, I just had a friend this week asking me, can I actually be leading my friends to Jesus? Can I be sharing with these people and leading with them when I have these own my own stuff that I'm dealing with right now? I feel like this is not the right time. I was like, no, this is a perfect time. Because part of what happens is your restoration is caught up in each other's restoration. So as she leads these people into following Jesus, as she leads them into a place where they're getting to know Jesus better, she's also getting to know Jesus better. She's being restored too. And I think we see that in scripture again. There's even in, it's like Isaiah 58 where it talks about as we serve, as we love, as we restore, our light breaks forth. Like we have springs of living water that well up in us. Our restoration continues to happen. Jesus restores us, but we also have continual restoration that happens as we participate in the restoration of other people. And so this morning, I wonder, where is God inviting you to participate in restoration that's outside of yourself? The last few weeks, I should say not few weeks, last few months, but especially the last few weeks, I'm like, we need restoration. Our world is in deep need of restoration, and we know it. Even the church in the United States is in deep need of restoration. We've been in a season, a long season of pandemic. People who have lost their lives, people's friends are sick, people's friends are scared. Your friends are scared. Maybe you're scared. You have neighbors who are weary, who are tired, who are lonely. Mental health issues are skyrocketing because of everything we've been enduring. People are desperate for restoration. And I think about a friend of mine from church here, Eileen. And Eileen has her own issues. She's got her own stuff that she's going through. And she would tell you. But you know what she does? She makes meals. She prays and asks God, God, who should I bless? You know, and she takes meals to people. Or she's dropped off bags of things on my porch. Here's a few things for your kids. I know it's a stressful time to be parenting. She's participating in the restoration of other people in this season when she knows that people are struggling or people are going through hard things or people's mental health is not great or people are hurting or people have lost loved ones. And she's, even in her own stuff, as she's being restored by God, she's like, how can I participate in the restoration of other people? And I tell you that story just because it can be as simple as like, maybe God would invite you to make a meal for someone or drop a card in the mail to someone, say, I love you and I see you. We are in need of restoration. It's a politically hot season. There's so much tension, so much conflict. We've been in this season of racial reckoning. People are hurting. How can we, as followers of Jesus, participate in their restoration as we are being restored by God? And so I wonder, where is the need for restoration around you? We've been inviting you the last few weeks to think about, where do you need restoration? What's happening in your life? We've invited you to look internally, which is good, and to connect with your internal world and your relationship with God. And I'm asking you this morning, along with that, to lift your eyes and look where there are needs for restoration around you, in your community, or maybe simply, just like Eileen, it's a friend that's going through a hard time. Where is there need for restoration around you? So how do we do it? I think there's just two ways. We continue to do what we've been doing the last few weeks. We continually commit to and engaging in our own restoration with God. All the things that we've shared about, having solitude and silence, having space, carving out time, reading scripture, dealing with our baggage, releasing those things, persevering in a dark night or persevering when we're facing a wall. Continually do those things. Continually engage in your own restoration. And then consider how you can participate in the restoration around you, in God's restorative work in lives around you. And ask God, God, would you show me? Would you put something on my heart? Would you burden me with something? You know, would you give me a person that I can't get out of my head? You know, or would you show me, would you reveal to me what my work, you know, some of the needs in my workplace that I could meet or participate in. And I've observed something. Matthew and I were talking yesterday, and I was saying, both of us were noticing, it's interesting, it seems like a lot of times the place where we've needed to be restored the most is often the place where God will invite you to participate in restoration. Have any of you experienced that? Like Matthew was talking about how one of the biggest key places of him meeting Jesus and finding restoration was in his mental health. He struggled so much around mental health and his worth and his value. And that's a place where God met him powerfully and restored so much of that for him. And now he's like, even though he was enjoying his job just fine, he's pursuing as a midlife career now, he's pursuing counseling and getting his master's so that he can go participate in the restoration of other people's mental health and helping them experience restoration from God and from science and all those things. And I love that. And I feel the same is true in my life where, you know, I grew up in the church, but really it wasn't until college that I really felt like I really began to encounter Jesus' love for me. And it was because in those years I was lost. I'm like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm about. I don't know what I'm supposed to be giving myself to. And it was in those years, in my 20s, when Jesus was revealed to me and I fell in love with him and I wanted to be like him. And so what have I done with the last years of my life since then? Invested in 20-year-olds, you know, saying, this is a really key time in your life and I want to be here for you when you're lost and remind you that Jesus loves you and show you who he really is. It's often the place where we desperately need restoration or where we've been restored or we're in the process of being restored that God will invite you to participate in restoration. So as we close, I'm going to invite the worship team up. And I'm not going to pray a long prayer or anything. I'm just going to ask God to speak. I'm going to ask God to speak this morning and to reveal to you something, a need, a place. Maybe it's a person. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's an issue like I talked about, maybe mental health, or maybe it's a community where there's a need for restoration. And I want God to reveal those things to us and to give us images or pictures or inspire us or stir our hearts for those needs. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to give you a minute of space, and then we'll stand together and worship.